Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 53 of the Panelcast. This is Brian.
And AJ.
And we're going to be bringing you, of course, some more news stories, as well as some of the comics and movies and various other things that we've been reading and watching. We're going to be updating you on ZKS, as well as just what Forbidden Panel has going on for the month of May. And we'll go ahead and take a quick break and then be right back.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. This is AJ here. Before we actually get into everything, I wanted to talk for a moment. I just came back from a funeral for a really good friend of mine, Wesley James Buell. He had passed away last Friday, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about my friend real quick, if you guys don't mind. Brian, I hope you don't mind either.
Not at all.
Wes was a really good friend of mine. We've known each other for about 16 years now. Real good, sweet guy, man. He was just a loving guy. There wasn't a person out there in the world that did not like Wes. If you met him, you instantly got along with him. Really, just, I can't say enough wonderful things about this guy. He was a comic book lover. My friend and I got him into Preacher, Planetary, The Losers, you know, all those kind of comic books. I'd give him a book and he'd just fall in love with it and read it immediately. And he was just an awesome guy. And he passed away last week and left behind a wife and a daughter that we've been taking care of all week and trying to make sure that they get through it all. So if you guys don't mind, and I appreciate you letting me talk about him, but I'd like to take a moment of silence just to honor a good friend of mine. That's Wesley Buell. So do like a moment of silence starting now. Okay, thanks a lot, guys. But, you know, if you have a chance, he's on Facebook. Wesley Buell, his wife set up a thing for him, kind of a memorial thing. So, you know, if you get a chance, go up there and just take a look, get to know the guy who he was. And like I said, he was a really awesome person. Sad to see him go. But back into the geeky stuff like we normally how we roll here. I wanted to talk about a comic book I had read last week that I really didn't get to touch base on. We just had a lot of stuff going on. We just didn't get a chance to talk about it. So this is this comic book I read is called Area 10, and it was written by Christos Gage, who we've had on the show here. We met him at San Diego Comic-Con. Real nice guy. Like, really
cool. Oh, yeah. He was really cool.
Yeah, he was all amped about it once we found out who we were and stuff. He was really amped to talk to us and really easy to talk to, surprisingly, you know. That's what really trips me out sometimes, Brian, you know, when we go to these conventions and we talk to people. I mean, you and I, we're geeks, and so we walk up.
Right.
It's almost like meeting a movie star for us, you know what I mean? So, like,
yeah.
You know. And it's surprising to find these people are just, like, really down-to-earth and really cool guys, you know. And they're always willing to talk to us, always willing to shake our hands and stuff, and hopefully...
Oh, yeah, very approachable.
Yeah, very. But hopefully we don't come across as, like, you know, oh, I like your book, you know, like, we don't make them too nervous or something. I mean, we're pretty cool guys in ourselves, so it's always nice...
Well, we try to keep our drooling to a minimum, so...
Well, we drool before and after, but we try not to drool while we're in front of them.
Right.
So, it's not to freak them out too much. Except for Robert Kirkman and Todd McFarlane. Fuck both of you. I couldn't talk to you to save my life. Had to send my friend over to talk to you, but anyway. So, yeah, most of these people are really approachable. So, if you know, you come up to them intelligently and let them know you're a good fan, they'll talk to you. And that was Christos Gage. He really approachable guy, and we were talking to him about Absolution, a book he had just put out, which if you haven't read yet, I've been following the series. It's a sweet series. I mean, it's pretty violent and sick, and it's just one of those things where it reaches all my criteria for comic books that I like, in that it's a superhero book, but it's violent. So it's not your casual, everyday superhero book. Well, I read this book that he put out called Area 10. And Area 10 is basically a story about this detective who comes back off a leave and begins investigating some murders and stuff that's going on. And it turns out that he goes in to stop a guy from killing his wife and kid, and in the process gets stabbed in the forehead with a screwdriver.
Fuck.
He lives through it and basically experiences what's known as trepanation. And what that is when a lot of people like to drill holes in their head because they feel it relieves the pressure and opens up their third eye, so to speak. And that's what this book is all about. It's not too supernatural. It's nowhere near a superhero book. It's just a really jacked up detective story. You know, it's like something you'd read like, I can't, like 8mm or something, or like...
Okay, so more of like a head trip kind of story.
Kind of like Lord of Illusions. You know what I mean? Where it starts off as a detective story, just with some real supernatural fucked up things that go on with it. And that's what this is kind of like, Area 10. If you get a chance, like, pick it up. It's a really cool book. It's all black and white, very simplistic art style, but it's nice. It's art by Chris Samnee and written by Christos Gage, and it's put out by Vertigo, who is rocking the boat right now. They're doing pretty good with their stuff. So give it a chance and go pick it up. It's I think you'll like it. Let us know what you think, because I'm always down to wax, talk about this stuff with people, you know?
Oh, yeah. We're nerds.
Yeah, that's why we do a show, right? In case you haven't figured it out yet.
I think that's pretty much why we do everything we do.
Probably. So have you had a chance to read anything this week?
I have not. I went looking for some new comics, but I didn't have any money, so I wasn't able to really to buy anything. So I will start reading some more stuff. I just didn't happen for me.
Had to pay the bills first, right?
Yeah, I had to pay the bills first. I did spend a little bit of money going to see Kick-Ass,
which we will touch base off on in a little bit. But I don't want to get there just yet, because I know it's going to take up a long time. So let me talk about a movie I saw last night that's comic book related, and that is The Losers. Have you read this book, Brian?
No.
I have, and I believe I talked about it on the show a few times. It was written by Andy Diggle, who is like just kicking ass all over the place right now. He wrote this book called The Losers, and basically what it is it's about, like, if you imagine the A-Team, right? And you got this group of guys who try and do something good, except something bad happens that somebody else does, but they get blamed for it, and because of that, they get, like, disavowed, and they have to live on the run. So that's what this movie is about, based off the comic book. I'd say it's more loosely based on the comic book. It does a good job of bringing up some important scenes. For instance, the shipping docks was taken straight out of the comic book, and which made me appreciate it even more. But it wasn't exactly like you would think, you know. And it wasn't a bad movie either. It was pretty fun. It was funny as hell. Jason Patrick did a great job as the villain, and Chris Evans did a good job as Jensen. I mean, they all did a good job in their character roles. I still wasn't feeling Zoe Saldana as Aisha. I don't know why. I just wasn't feeling her as that character. But maybe it's because I have something against Zoe Saldana. It could be that. But otherwise, I mean, the movie is really fun, and it's really cool. If you go see it, which I would recommend you do, but pay for a matinee. But go see it and expect just a fun action movie, and that's what you'll get. In that aspect, you won't be too disappointed. Now, however, the problem I did have with the movie wasn't in that the movie itself. Is that Chris Evans was in it, and as many of you know, Chris Evans has been cast as Captain America. Every reason I have against this casting shows up in this movie. Chris Evans, many of you may know as Johnny Storm from the Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, that guy, that's who that is.
Yeah, and he basically plays the same character in this movie, in that he's, you know, silly, joking around, having fun, being playful, and all that. So I see him playing in this movie, and I cannot see him as Captain America. Captain America is none of that. Captain America is a no-nonsense icon of America. You know, I wouldn't say he's always serious, but he's the guy that walks in a room and you automatically give him his respect. Comic book characters in the Marvel Universe right now, even from before, even his enemies, they all know that when Captain America walks in a room, there's this presence and essence about him that demands respect from him. And I just don't see Chris Evans pulling that off. It's just not, I just don't see it happening. And for this movie, The Losers, exemplifies every single reason that I just pointed out to you. So when you go see this movie, if you do, just picture Chris Evans as Captain America and you tell me if you feel it as well. Especially when 90% of the cast that he was in is taller than him. That was another problem I had. You can't be just 6 feet tall and have that essence about you. It just, I don't know. Take it from me. I'm 5 foot six. I don't command that kind of power when I walk in the room, and I'm an asshole, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, I don't see this guy doing such, I mean, he's got the build. I will give him that. That motherfucker is ripped, but I just don't see him as Steve Rogers in Captain America.
Personally, I think we should try pulling for Dolph Lundgren,
which I will be talking to next week. I will ask him why he, but again, he made his fortune playing a Russian guy. Like, you see him, you automatically think Drago from Rocky IV.
Right.
You know, or He-Man, for Christ's sake. personally, I think that, I mean, I'm tapping on a wrestler here, and I think John Cena would have been a great Captain America. I think he's just got the build and the respect for it in all nine. But that's just me. I'm a wrestling
guy. Yeah, but did you see that movie that he did?
The Marine?
Yeah.
I kind of like The Marine. I mean, Robert Patrick ruined it for me, but otherwise I thought it was kind of cool. Well, anyway.
That's all I have to say about that.
Anyway, so we're running out of time in this segment, so Brian, let's you and I get to it. You saw Kick-Ass. What'd you think?
I thought it was fucking fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I was pretty sure that I was going to enjoy it from what I saw of the Red Band trailers. It looked like they had stayed pretty faithful to the comic while still, you know, making the necessary changes for translating it to film. And that's pretty much what happened. So, I mean, there are a lot of differences between the comic book story and the movie story. Some of the differences I didn't really like that much. But ultimately, I still thought it was a really good movie. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say that it should win any sort of Academy Awards, except for maybe pushing the envelope, but I don't think that's a category.
Right.
But no, I mean, it was a good movie.
It'll win a lot of MTV Awards.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll win a lot of MTV
Awards. And Spike TV Awards. It'll win a lot of those, but I don't see it going anywhere in the Academy other than, like, movie that should have been rated X, you know, like movies nobody should have seen. That's what it'll be rated as. But
right, I was amazed by the amount of stuff that they put into that movie without getting into the NC-17 rating.
Right.
And I'm sure they probably had some sort of a battle over the rating for that movie.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I can't wait to see the uncut version of this movie. I think that will be the shit. Like, we'll have to all get together and have, like, a kick-ass geek viewing unrated night, you know?
Right, to see what they couldn't put in the movie.
Right, like what they left on the floor.
So many times they have those, the uncut version, see what they couldn't show you in theaters. But this time I think it's going to be something where you're going to be, oh, fuck.
Right.
Yeah, no wonder I didn't see that in the theater.
Right, but I also, you're right in that a lot of the changes they made weren't too happy. But I think it made it better because they were trying to make him not look as pathetic, you know? Because in the comic, he just looks like, why are you doing this? You dumb fuck. Go home, you know?
Yeah.
And they leave some of that in there, but he had to get the girl. There had to have been some happiness in there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I understand why they did it. And it wasn't enough that it detracted from the movie experience for me. There were just changes that I preferred the comic book version to the movie version.
Right.
So.
Right. No, and I give it up to you. I admit I like those versions better, but I can't argue with what I saw. I loved the movie. I thought it was completely awesome for what it was. It was just one of those movies that pushed the boundaries so badly, you felt like dirty for laughing at it or thinking it was cool. And as I told you off air, Brian, I'm going to admit this to everybody right now, and I'm sure I'm not alone in feeling this. There were a few seconds in there where I thought I would want to bang the shit out of Hit Girl. And then I would realize how old she was, and I would back the fuck up. You know what I mean? But I just...
Our next episode will have a special guest, Chris Hansen.
Right, because I'll be in jail. But yeah, I thought she was awesome. And the movie was entirely... It just felt like Kick-Ass was just an intro character. Like, hi, my name is Kick-Ass. Meet Hit-Girl. You know?
Right, well, you knew Hit-Girl was going to steal that movie.
Right,
come on.
Right. I mean, just, you knew. And fucking A, tell me that was not the best movie you've ever seen Nicolas Cage in.
It was. It was, actually. There's actually a couple of Nicolas Cage movies that I like. Not many. But this added itself as one of them.
Right.
And he wasn't the big daddy I was expecting, but he wasn't terrible.
No, he did a great job in it.
Right.
Fuse the kryptonite! That shit was awesome, dude! He's all on fire and stuff. That was fucking... And the way he talked like Adam West Batman when he was in costume. That was awesome, dude.
No, there were a lot of nods. Like it seems like he finally got the comic book role that he wanted that I mean he could actually make work. Because let's face it, you know. I'm sorry, Nick Cage, but Ghost Rider.
Please, when that part when he was in the warehouse and he's killing everybody and beating the shit out of it, as soon as like it calmed down, I was like, why couldn't you bring that shit to Ghost Rider, Nick Cage? And like everybody was cracking up, dude. It was like, yeah, he should have brought that. But yeah, it was an awesome movie. I loved it. If you haven't seen it yet, guys, go check it out. I'm telling you, you'll love it. You'll love it. Don't bring your kids. Leave your kids at home.
Yeah.
But go see the movie. It's the shit. So, if you didn't have anything else, Brian, for this segment, let's go ahead and take a break. And then when we come back, you can touch on the news.
Hey, this is John from the High Tower Comics. I just want everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
And we are back from our break, so I'm going to start jumping into some news here. Got a couple of big stories and then some smaller ones to follow up. The first one, of course, we already touched this on the last segment, but Kick-Ass is just sort of exploding in the comic book news world right now. Most of my my Google feed hits were about Kick-Ass. Apparently everybody's talking about this movie. It's really sort of I don't know that I would necessarily say that it's pushing the comic book movie genre more into the limelight, but I think a lot more people are starting to sit up and take notice just with as well as this one did. Because, I mean, honestly, a lot of comic book movies will start off kind of strong and then sort of peter out. And, I mean, a lot of them don't even really go anywhere at all because most people have never even heard of the stories at all.
Right. A lot of people tend to back off of things if they don't realize it was either A, a comic book movie, or B, they just, I don't know, it just flutters out. Like, it gets that initial rush, and then everybody just gives up on it afterwards.
Right. Or it just doesn't even get enough press to begin with. There's no real marketing of the movie when it comes out. It seems like certain stories, they were started off as a small comic and end up as a small movie, almost to the point where you wonder why they even bothered to make it.
Right.
But Kick-Ass didn't suffer from that, and it's huge. I'm pretty sure at this point, nearly everybody in the country has seen it, or they should have at least.
Right. I mean, it's an awesome, awesome movie, as we discussed earlier, and it's number one in the nation right now. It beat out How to Train Your Dragon, which was kicking ass the whole time, and which is an awesome movie in itself. You know, I love it. But, yeah, it's doing great.
So, yeah. Kick-Ass is exploding all over the place. And the other big news story that was out there, and I'm not sure if you've heard anything about this, AJ, but I'd be surprised if you hadn't, because this is something that everybody's talking about as well. Apparently, Archie Comics has introduced their first permanent gay character.
You know what? I have not heard about that.
I'm actually kind of surprised because there's been a lot of talk about this. And a lot of people for it, a lot of people against it. Mm. And I was actually kind of surprised to find out that they're going to be bringing in a gay character.
You know, it's very adventurous for them in that aspect, but at the same time, I'm not surprised that it happens. It's not that I'm not surprised that it's happening. I'm not surprised at the backlash from it, because people tend to think of Archie comic books as good and pure and wholesome. You know, everything that represented the time period in which it came out with, and introducing a gay character in a mainstream environment such as that, is probably something that is making them freak out and be like, no, that's not how it was back in those times. Archie wasn't gay, you know, and crap like that. Though if you've ever seen Chasing Amy, you know, or the main characters, one of the main characters have that argument over it, than you'll think otherwise, but still, it doesn't surprise me. It just shows how pathetic and sad our society is right now. It's like blaming Obama for all the problems because he's black and the president, you know, when really Obama's just still trying to clean up after Bush. You guys are bitching about the same shit that you were bitching about Bush about Obama, except now it's okay to put Hitler and African dress on the president because he's black. It's the same thing with Archie. You know, it's just because it's not what you know, it's what you hid in shame from, so you're not you're afraid to talk about it in real life. You know what I mean? And that's my soapbox, and I'm getting off of it.
No, that's all right. I get up on the soapbox quite often myself. The reason I was surprised that they were introducing the character, like bringing him on in a permanent position, was just because of the fact that they have modernized some aspects of the Archie comics, but it really still is taking place in the 50s. Even they sort of updated certain things, but I mean, really, based on just the way the characters dress and certain styles of things in the cartoons, they almost still kind of go back to that 50s, that, you know, 1950s sort of, I don't know what you would call that style, 50s style. But it seems for most of the stories that I've been reading about this that actually most of the reaction to having the gay character introduced is getting actually a lot of acceptance. Most of the people that are reading it don't seem to have that many of problems with it. But then again, it's kind of hard to tell exactly what the general consensus is from mainstream readers, because the people that are writing the articles are not necessarily the voice of everybody.
Right. I don't know. To me, it likens to that whole Pleasantville aspect of it, you know, like the Pleasantville movie, where you're introducing color into the whole situation and nobody knows what to do with it. It's obviously evil or something. So it likens to that, in my opinion. But I'd be interested in see where they take it, if they're going to make – I mean, it's Archie, so obviously they're going to make this guy flamboyantly gay, you know, because they always overemphasize all the characterizations on the comic anyway. So that's how it's – I'm imagining it's going to be.
From what I understand of the character that they have, it was a character that had already been introduced fairly recently.
Closet?
No, he was introduced as a gay character, but he was just a sort of a one-shot thing where he was the love interest of one of the girls who thought he was cute, and he was gay. And like, I guess the storyline was just that nobody really knew if he was gay or not, and then it turns out that he was, and then he just sort of left. It was just, you know, a story arc, and then they finished it, and that was it. But now, from what I understand, is they're bringing him on to make him a part of the main social group of Archie and his friends.
Mm, that's weird. That should be interesting. We'll see how it is.
Yeah. I still have no interest in reading Archie comics.
Right.
But
yeah, it's not going to make me read it anymore.
Right. But I'm glad to see that they are kind of branching that stuff out, because, you know, let's face it, they are a pretty vanilla group.
Right.
Well, anyways, on to some of the smaller stories here. These are things that people may not have heard about. I had talked a while back, I don't remember which panel cast it was, but I had mentioned a story that the LA Times was going to start including graphic novel prizes for their book reviews. And there actually was a winner for the graphic novel prize was, I can't pronounce this guy's last name. What is it about comic book artists and comic book writers that they just have unpronounceable names? But
Brian Croyd.
Right. David Mazzucchelli, the artist for Batman Year One, won the graphic novel prize for the LA Times this year, the book review.
Nice.
So that's a good thing to see. I like the fact that more like serious literature awards are starting to include comics and graphic novels into their things. And there's still always going to be that argument over whether certain types of things could be considered art, whether comic books are art or video games are art or movies are art, or, you know, there's always going to be people that make those arguments. But I personally think that any sort of creative endeavor should be considered art and should get some sort of a recognition. And I'm glad to see that graphic novels are also getting that.
Yeah, it's about time. I mean, it's a well-known fact that Alan Moore's book Watchmen won all these awards, all these literary awards, and then was taken out because the next year comic books were banned from being admitted into those because they thought comic books weren't any legitimate form of literacy, you know? So it's nice to see that we're slowly fighting our way back.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want to ever say that I think that something like The Watchmen or Batman or any of those should be considered on the same level as classic works, you know, like Dracula or War of the Worlds or something.
I think it should be. I think it should be because it's not something that – I mean, those things were spectacular for their time because they were the first of their kind, you know, and that they were written so well. I mean, Dracula, if you read Dracula now, it's just – it doesn't make a – it's not written as great now as it is as it was back then because we just didn't have that type of exposure, so it was amazing to us. And here we are talking about Watchmen and stuff. Watchmen, for its time, was amazing. Also, it was a groundbreaking book. I mean, it's the first book to ever break through that barrier of we are not candy coated characters. So I think it should be held on the same level. I mean, it's just as great in comparison to those. It's just, it has art that goes with it, you know.
Well, maybe I should clarify my point in that. Comparing like a classic work of literature to Watchmen, I think, is comparing apples and oranges. It's not that I don't think they should get the same amount of esteem. I definitely do, and that's why I'm glad to see the graphic novel categories being added to book awards. I think a lot of people are assuming that the comics are somehow going to displace things, you know, like these classic works of literature. And I don't see that The Watchmen is going to end up taking the place of Alice in Wonderland or something like that. So I think it's going to come in as its own field of art. I don't think it's going to really compete with that. I think they're two different types of things. They both, in my opinion, are considered literature, but they're just different forms.
Right. I can see that.
Let's see. Something a little less serious.
And argumentative.
Yeah. Well, you know, debates can be interesting. But we actually have the trailer for this up on our website. But Marvel vs. Capcom 3, some of the Capcom people have been hinting at the fact that there may actually be a comic book coming out for this. I actually am kind of excited about this game. So, I don't know. These sort of product crossover comics usually tend to leave a bad flavor in my mouth, and I don't really enjoy them.
Dude, I want to see Chris Redfield throw down with the Hulk. What's up?
Well, yeah, that'll be fun in playing it on console, but I don't know that it would necessarily hold any appeal for me in terms of a comic book iteration, just because then you're not in control.
Oh, true, very true. But I mean, we take that same chance whenever we see a movie based off of, you know, a video game. You know, we're not really in control. I mean, let's look at the Resident Evil series, for Christ's sake. When was the last time any of that had anything to do with the video game other than Nemesis showing up in the sequel? You know, like, I have hope for Resident Evil Afterlife with Wesker showing up.
I don't.
I think it'll be kind of cool and in 3D and all, but
I think the movies just keep getting made because Paul Anderson needs to find work for his wife. That's all it is. He just makes these movies for Mia Jovovich, and so, whatever.
Hey, you know what? As long as she keeps showing up naked in them, I'll go see them.
I'm getting sick of it. Those movies are so awful, and I don't want them.
You don't want them?
No.
That's too bad. I'll still see it. I still support you, Mila.
Well, if people want to go out there and see it, hey, more power to you. Just don't expect to see me there. And then, I guess, Blue Water made like a new comic about Taylor Swift or something.
Is that all you have to say on that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I've worn myself out on that topic, so I think that's going to do it for my news segment.
Well, real quick before we go into break, I did want to mention something that I didn't add in my last segment. That is the band Kirby Crackle. We had touched base on this in the last panel cast, and to be honest with you, I didn't have a chance to listen to the band yet, but I listened to their CD this week, and I have been listening to it nonstop all week. It is just, go check out KirbyCrackleMusic.com, or just look up Kirby Crackle on Google and you'll find them. They are a band, Seattle-based band, which surprises me for some reason. A Seattle-based band of geeks that just sings about comic books and stuff like that.
A lot of geeks in Seattle.
Yeah, but I mean like Seattle bands. I'm thinking like, you know, Nirvana and Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Mudhoney, you know, all the old school stuff. So Kirby Crackle here, they're all singing about Wolverine and Green Lantern, about being a henchman, stuff like that. It's really fun. And if you're a geek like I am, you'll appreciate a lot of the similes and a lot of the metaphors of which they're speaking of, the comparisons they make, and just little hidden gems in there, you know, that only geeks would get. You know, like there's this one song called "The Watcher," and he's like, "Call me Watu." You know, it's catchy, it's funny, it's pretty cool. And from what I understand, at C2E2 this past weekend, last week, they were performing, and people like Quesada and Bendis and all of them, they all got up on stage with them and started singing some of their songs with them. So they're a fun band as well, you know. And I got to talk to them and meet them and interview them. You can listen to the interview in episode 51 of the panel cast, and you should. And go check out their music. They have a player on their site so that you can listen to their whole album right then and there. So check it out. Let us know what you think, because I think it's pretty cool. Not the best as far as... you know, they're not going to win any Grammys anytime soon, but you can tell they're having a lot of fun and poking fun at themselves as well as, like, the industry while talking about comic books. So it's pretty cool. You should check
it. I think some of my favorite artists are never going to win a Grammy in their life. So
Weird Al
not really
never
worried about
win.
That.
Yeah, so that's all I had. Any more news, Brian?
Nope, I'm done.
Okay.
That was me washing my hands of it.
Awesome.
So go ahead and we'll take a quick break and be right back.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games, and yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And I'm sorry.
And we're back, everybody. Hope you're enjoying our show so far, because we know we aren't. But that's my attempt at humor. So in this segment, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But before we wrap up the show, we want to tell you about how busy our May is. And by us, I am talking about everybody but Brian, because that bastard moved out of state. So
just in time.
Just in time, dick. Anyway, first off, I want to touch bases on the ZKS pinup contest. I don't know if you guys have seen or not, if you've had a chance to add us on Facebook. Facebook is pretty lame right now in that they changed fans.
Keep fucking changing everything.
Yeah, it's getting really fucking annoying. So I don't know how it's working out for the people that are actually fans of the show or fans of ZKS or Forbidden Panel, you know, if you're actually getting any updates or what have you. But I'm going to announce it right here that ZKS, we're doing a ZKS pinup contest. Let me tell you something right now. ZKS is kicking fucking ass, okay? Everyone I talk to about it just loves the fucking comic. And for me, as the writer and the creator of the comic, I have no fucking clue why you guys like our shit. Like, seriously, I am just thrown aback by how popular it's getting right now. Like, we've gotten requests for, like, t-shirts and magnets and stickers and people wanting to work the booths with us and wanting to know where we're going to be so they can come see us. People want our signature, for Christ's fucking sake. And they're not bill collectors. Like, they don't want any money from us. They just want our shit. So it's, like, a completely different world for me. It's so weird being on the other side of the table. Like, I have no clue what to do with it, but I am extremely grateful, and I love you guys to death for it. So thank you so much. But what's coming up is we're doing a pinup contest. And what pinup means is, like, and it means this in both aspects of the word, in that we want somebody, we want you guys to draw your best zombie or ZKS related subject and on paper and shoot it over to us. You can either post it on the website, you can email us submissions at forbiddenpanel.com, or send it to our P.O. Box at P.O. Box 692, Redlands, California, 92373. Anyway, any of those ways, just send us your artwork and enter into the contest. Here are the basic rules. We are asking you to submit your best zombie or ZKS pinup. The best 24 images will end up in our ZKS pinup book. The best image will win a $50 gift card to Hot Topic and will be on the cover for that book and possibly the cover for future ZKS comics. The winner will also receive the entire ZKS package up to that point. What that means is wherever we are as of June 10th, the winner will receive copies of everything, the Zero, the field manual, a copy of each poster, the stickers and the magnets. You guys, you win the whole package for that and whatever winner that is. You will also be invited to whatever local convention that you can attend to that we will be at. And trust me, we're fucking everywhere right now in Southern California. And toward the end of the year, we'll start branching out outside of Southern California too. So if you win, there's a chance that we're going to call you up and be like, dude, come on down here, sit behind the table with us and sign prints of your work for people because they love it. You know, so it's pretty interesting stuff. And here are the simple rules. The image must be 300 DPI. We need it that big so we can submit it to the printers. The image must be in black and white. Again, everything we do is black and white so far. It must have either a zombie or a ZKS member in it. Now, you don't have to give us one that's already been created as far as ZKS member. You can go ahead and write your own. If you are sitting there going, how the fuck do we know what a ZKS member is when you haven't put out the book yet? Guess what, assholes? We have a section on the website that says ZKS members. Everything, every member that you see up there is somebody that's going to be in the book. So if you want, you can copy one of those listings, or you can create.
Or you could like send us an email or something to ask. That'd be nice.
Right, or you can shoot us an email. But seriously, it's not that hard. We make everything ZKS open to you guys, so you can join up and be. I think that's probably some of the appeal in that people feel like they're being a part of this, and this is what we want you to be to feel like here. Now, just so you know, any image you submit to us in any way, shape, or form does become a property for Bidden Panel once it's submitted. What that means is that it's ours. So we're going to use it for promotional purposes. We're going to put it in the book. We're going to have it tattooed on Brian's ass. It's just going to be – it's ours going to be at that point. But at the same time
– my ass is already reserved for something else, so.
Yes, but you moved out of state, so I can't give that to you. Anyway, but, you know, we're going to use it for promotional purposes. We're going to put it on the book. Your name will be on it. It will say, you know, pinup designed by so-and-so, and you will get full credit for it, but it is our property, just so you know. Once the deadline comes, we'll post images up on the website and allow people to vote for the best one. We are very amped in this because, as we said, we're geeks as well. So seeing people send us representations of our work is a complete and total, like, geek out for us. You know?
Right. Yeah, this fan art, I mean, is really...
the highest form of flattery.
It is, because that means that people care enough about your stuff to take time out of their day to create something in your world.
Exactly.
I honestly don't know how our heads are not going to explode.
My head exploded when I posted this online, so... Anyway, the deadline for this is June 12, 2010. So you've got about a month and a half to work something out. So once you're done, like I said, you email it to us at submissions@forbiddenpanel.com. That's submissions, plural, S-U-B-M-I-S-S-I-O-N-S, @forbiddenpanel.com. And we wish you guys the best of luck. We're very excited in seeing all this. If you want further detail on the rules, go to forbiddenpanel.com and look up ZKS pinup contest. It's under the ZKS section of the forum, and it'll have all the rules there. It also has an awesome image that Justin did of the mask that the ZKS member wears in black and white. He sent us in a full blueprint copy of it, color copy of it tonight, and that thing looks sick. I'm telling you, Justin, you are the man. I have no idea why you want to be hanging around with us, but you make us look good.
I want to have your babies.
He does. It's sad. He's having himself hollowed out for it. So there you have it. That's a ZKS pinup. Now, for the next moment of pride, and I have to tell you, Brian, this is like, I don't know how to describe how I feel about this, but I'm geeking out. All right. Four Color Fantasies is hosting Free Comic Book Day next Saturday, which by the time you guys hear it will be this Saturday, May 1st, 2010. In case you don't know where Four Color Fantasies is, it's 7172 Archibald Avenue. It's on the front page of the Forbidden Panel website, the flyer, so please check it out. But
yeah, we talk about it enough, so you should be able to find
you
it.
You should be able to, but we finally have the entire listing of who's going to be there, and let me just read it off to you. Mark Waid from Boom Studios, creator of Irredeemable, Incorruptible, writer of Kingdom Come, Superman Birthright, The Flash, Spider-Man, and a whole bunch of other titles will be there. Wills nice. Porticio, co-founder of Image Comics, artist on The Punisher, X-Factor, Hulk, Image United, X-Men. Image Comics is like my favorite comic book company right now because they put out The Walking Dead. So to be around somebody of that caliber is awesome. Philip Tan, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah.
This guy's artwork is sick. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. He's an artist on DC's Outsiders, Green Lantern, Batman and Robin, cover artist for Spawn, and the Uncanny X-Men. If he's the cover artist for Spawn, that means Tom McFarlane likes him. Okay, so that should tell you how good this fucker is. Thomas Zahler, he's the creator and artist of Love and Capes, a really huge underground comic book that's out there. Dwayne McDuffie, he's a writer for TV and comics, including Static Shock, Justice League Unlimited, Justice League Crisis on Two Worlds. We've all seen his work, and we all like it. We've talked about Justice League a lot here on the show. So, Adam Beechin is a writer for TV and comics, including The Batman, Teen Titans, Batman Beyond Six. This guy's like all over the place too. Norm Rapman is the artist for Booster Gold and various DC titles. Danny Mickey is the comic inker extraordinaire. Current project is the Incredible Hulk. He's a fucking tracer, but he's a tracer that gets paid.
A lot.
Alan Martinez, he works on the new Avengers, Iron Man. Amy Wolfram, who, like, you have to have heard of her. She does Teen Titans, Ben 10 from Cartoon Network. And the man himself, T.C. fucking Carson, dude. Voice of Kratos from God of War. And Mace Windu from Star Wars. He was also on Living Single. He's the man. We've done an interview with him. Brandy talked to him at the Rose Bowl. Check it out under one of the panel casts that we did and hear him out. He's awesome. And under all those names is me and Justin from Forbidden Panel. What's up? It's all John Narcomi from Draw Hard, as well as Hightower Comics. Julian Aguilera from Marvel and Cinescope. Danny Dixon from Tumble Creek Press. She does this awesome comic series called 13. We also interviewed her in one of the panel casts, previous panel casts. Brandy Alcette, who's on the show a lot. She's the author of this Goddess Guide, as well as working on her own graphic novel, which will be published under Forbidden Panel. All these people are going to be there at Free Comic Book Day. And this is not... If you've been to other Free Comic Book Day stores that are hosting it, they just basically give you comics and tell you to get the fuck out. Four Color Fantasies it's like a carnival, man. They have a bouncy house, they have free food, costume contests, all this. They close out the parking lot. We all sit there under this big-ass tent, signing and giving away free stuff. I mean, I'm going to be doing that sitting next to T.C. Carson this year. So, Kratos, you and me will be kicking it, and I'm going to be yelling at you about a couple of things, but...
Well, that's because Four Color Fantasies cares about comics.
Right, they're the shit.
They care about making money, but they care about comics.
Right, and they care about the people as well. So, and you're going to get free food, free comics, free fun. You'll have people from the 501st Legion there, costume characters. There'll be a coloring contest, a charity raffle, and yeah, just come on out. Now, what's awesome about this whole experience is that, let me read you a list of the sponsors and who's sponsoring this event. Boom Studios, Edwards Ontario 22, Farmers Insurance, Draw Hard Studios, and Forbidden fucking Panel. That's right. We're helping present this thing. So it's a big moment of pride for us, not just to see our names next to all these great people, but in that we're involved in such a big event. So you guys need to come check us out. And like I said, Brian, I'm sorry you can't be here this year. You weren't there last year either, so it doesn't really matter. But
yeah, well, it's... Always something.
It's always something. It's always one thing or another. And that's not the only place we're going to be in May. We're so slammed. Okay, so we're going to be May 1st, Red Free Comic Book Day in Four Color Fantasies, right? The next day, May 2nd, we'll be at the Los Angeles Comic Book and Science Convention up in the Shriners Auditorium in Los Angeles. The next week, in May 8th, we'll be at the Rose Bowl Comics and Collectibles Show. May 15th, we'll be at the RCC Arts and Music Festival. And then the big event that we're all looking forward to is on May 28th, we'll be at the Pasadena Rock and Comic Convention with Stan Lee, Jim Steranko, J. David Spurlock, as well as tons of other people that will be there. Lots of rock bands, comic book people. It's just going to be awesome. It's a 3-day event held in Pasadena from the 28th to the 30th. So 28th, 29th, 30th, yeah. So Memorial Day weekend, if you're not doing anything, come out and see us out there. We're everywhere in May. And that's just May. Wait till you see June. It's going to be nutty. So there you have it. I'm all out of breath from talking so much. Damn.
Jeez, I'm out of breath just from listening to you.
I know, dude. Well, you never talk anyway, so fuck you.
Yeah, I know. I need to start getting on and just really figuring out what's around here now that I'm on the East Coast, figure out what the conventions are. It seems like, unfortunately, I've been finding out about them when it's a little too late to do anything about it. So.
Right. Well, what that means for everybody out there is that Forbidden Panel, I mean, we're a cross-national company. We got Brian out in Massachusetts. We got Ryan in Wisconsin. I'm in the Inland Empire. Justin is in Apple Valley. Brandy's out in Hollywood. So, I mean, anywhere you can find any one of us, you know, and we're going to be doing our best to be running around all the stores. Crazy Fred's out in San Diego is run by a friend of mine. Fred, he will be starting to carry our comic book out there, and he's also holding an event at the end of June to where it'll be like, you know, he'll have a DJ out there talking, and it'll be a good chance for everybody to meet independent artists and comic book people around the area, including Oni Press, as well as Forbidden Panel. So we will be out there at the end of June sometime. The Fourth Wall out in Canada, I still got to send these guys an email. They'll be carrying our books out there. Rancho Cucamonga, they're carrying us. I'm heading out to Secret Headquarters next weekend to talk to them about carrying our books. And we will be in a lot of different stores, so if you haven't had a chance, pick us up. Let us know what you think about the book. Leave us a comment on the website or shoot us an email. We're all over. We have WordPress blogs. We have Blogger blogs. You know, so, again, we understand that the difficulty in becoming a member on the site. And that's my fault because I'm trying to save you guys.
But it's there. Yeah, it's there to protect you.
Yeah, it's there to protect you. But if you feel like going the easier route, then head over to one of those places and find us. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're pretty much everywhere that you can find us. And we really appreciate the 131 fans we have on Facebook. Now that Facebook's changed, we don't know if we have any more or any less. But, you know, we do appreciate everybody that's been on there. Brian, did you have any websites or anybody you wanted to remind our fans to go check out?
Not right at the moment. I've been trying to go out and find the comic book stores around here and try to find local contacts and people to push. And not a whole lot of success at it. Google Maps keeps lying to me, so I will eventually find them. If people want to tell me where some local comic stores are, I know there's quite a few big ones out in Boston. I'm going to have to get out there and go check it out. So just stay tuned. Eventually I'll be bringing you some East Coast coverage.
Yeah, East Coast coverage. When's the next Geek Girls?
To be announced.
To be announced. So you're still looking for people, right?
I am. I'm still looking for Geek Girls. I'm still going to keep the series going. So again, if anybody out there knows somebody, doesn't have to be on the East Coast. I record through Skype, so anybody, anywhere in the world, I don't care. I'll get up at whatever hour I have to and talk. So just go ahead, shoot me an email or drop a message on the site or on the Facebook or Twitter or however you can. I do want to get in contact with some more ladies to sit down and do Geek Girls. It'll be about 15 to 30 minutes of your time, and that's it.
It's not that hard, people. Just drop an email. It's Brian with a Y at ForbiddenPanel.com. It'll be fun. You've listened to all the other Geek Girls. And if you haven't listened to Geek Girls yet, head on over to that section of the website and check it out, because it's a really awesome little feature that he does and some great chicks that he's been able to talk to. And we're really, really thankful for those girls for spending their time with us.
I've received great responses for doing it, and so I really need to keep it up. It kind of got put on hiatus during the move and a lot of the transitioning and everything, but now that we've got the panel cast started back up and I've mostly got myself settled in here, I'm going to start looking to do the interviews again.
Yep.
So, some of the people I was actually going to interview before, I'm in the same time zone as them now. So
they have no excuse.
Right.
None. You've seen, if you've been on the website, you've seen the new graphic for ZKS that we have up there. The zombie heads as well as the ZKS member heads. That's done by Justin White. He did a phenomenal job with that graphic. Just so you guys know, I have grounded Justin. He's not allowed to work on anybody else's project except for the first issue of ZKS. So bad news is you guys can't have any side projects from him. The good news is you'll have the first issue of the comic book sometime soon. We're pretty amped about it. We're almost done with the scripting part. The issue is going to be about 22 to 24 pages. It'll be our first full-length comic book. The better news is that our 24-hour comic has finally been scanned. I'm going to be sending it out to the printer sometime this week, so you guys will have that too soon. We will have four books for you.
I've actually had people asking me about that. So
I'm telling you, it's an awesome book, dude. It came out really, really good, and I'm surprised. So I got to send it over to Justin, have him do a little touch-ups. You know how Justin is. And then we'll send it off to the printers, and you guys should have it sometime soon. We're pretty amped about that. And the best news of all, in case you haven't seen it yet, the Forbidden Panel store is online. It's up.
Oh, yeah.
It's running.
Go buy over some there, shit, people.
Buy some shit. We need your money and your patronage. So, yeah. And in case you can't find it on the site, it's forbiddenpanel.com/stores. And that's plural. And it's plural because it's not only the Forbidden Panel store, but it's also the Necrosapien Press store, so you can get some of Justin's prints as well as the comic books and all that stuff that we have available for you online. So please shop, 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 shop. I'm going to let you know right now, it's $1 shipping for anything you buy, because I'm a fat, lazy ass, and it takes a lot of effort for me to get from here to the post office. So, you know, I need that dollar. It buys my Snickers bar. Check out the video that Junior put up about us. He interviewed us on the 24-hour comic day. It's pretty hilarious. You can see me going from amped and excited to tired and exhausted, and my lame excuse for a mohawk is shining right through. Brandy is also on there. She says the camera adds 10 pounds. I say that it added 10 pounds to her boobs. But that's just me. Check out our friends' websites, HightowerComics.com, John's new company, DrawHardStudios.com, SamantInc.com, as well as Necrosapien.net, FourColorFantasies.com. And, of course, ForbiddenPanel.com. Brian, anything else before we say goodbye?
I want to thank everybody for listening.
Yes. Yes, he does. I, too, want to thank everybody else for listening. Thank you guys so much for your patronage and your time. And, again, Wes, if you're out there, brother, I love you, and I miss you, and I hope you're doing fine. You're better off where you are, I'm sure. And I hope you're proud of me. Thank you, everybody, and we'll catch you next week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.